Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. Subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify to get notified when new episodes are available to download or stream. You can also follow us on social media at PC Las Vegas and visit our website, praisechapellasvegas.com, to find out more about us and give online. Thanks again for joining and enjoy today's message.
I'm going to speak to you from not just revelation, but from, you know, years of working with women and years of working in my own life. How do you start? And I believe that God has been just aligning every word that we've been listening today. And I want to tell you, Nadia, that I am so proud of you. I am so proud of Nadia. I've known her for 16 años, 16 years. And she was under my mentorship for a couple of years, and God has done a great work. So I'm so proud of you that you got out of your shell. You got out of your comfort zone. Come on, guys. It was her first time ever preaching in English. So that's what transformation looks like, doing something you've never done before. And I'm so nervous. I'm so scared, but I'm gonna do it anyways. And when God sees that you get out of your comfort and I'm going to do it anyways, because it's not by my own strength, Lord, it is your strength, Lord. Nothing good comes out of me, but all the good things comes from you. And when you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this, and you act in faith, God says, promote it. Elevation, transformation, renewal. So I'm so proud of you. Continue coming out of your shell, because God wants to continue showing you what's the next level in your life. And Pastora Maria, like, thank you for doing this. Thank you for hosting this space for your woman to grow. Can you just bless and honor the pastor of the house? You know, we've been connecting since last year, and, you know, we've had some really great conversations, and she's even being expanded. The Lord is expanding her. The Lord is expanding her. He is expanding her. And you providing this space for the woman also elevates you and just takes you to a different level of wisdom. You know, being in ministry is hard. Being a pastor, a leader, a woman in ministry, it's not easy. I feel like us women, we're the ones that takes all the hits. Our husband is the forefront leader, but we're always that one shield, and us women always take all the hits. I mean, my husband could be preaching on something, and I'm the one that gets bashed online. I'm like, he preached, not me. Why are you bashing me? Like, us women always get bashed. Oh, because how she look or how she dress or what she's wearing, blah, blah. So us women, we have it really hard as female leaders of the church. So thank you for creating this space for your woman to grow. Thank you. So I honor you, and I just declare that new things are coming to your ministry because of the space you created. You stepped out on faith. I don't know who's coming. And I said, it don't matter who's coming. If it's two or three, God wants them to be there. And because you acted on faith, God's going to bless you in your ministry and your husband to see how your husband is serving. It's so beautiful. I mean, her husband is serving her. Her husband is serving the woman of his church. That is so beautiful. That is so honoring. Just as you're serving other people, God's going to start serving you. And just get ready to receive people serving you. You might not be used to it, but God's like, I'm sending people to serve you now. I'm bringing people to serve you on a plate. I'm bringing people to take things off your plate so that you could sit back and enjoy. And these people, they're not going to snatch positions. These people are going to come with love and wanting to serve you and your husband from a place of love, not snatching positions. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so I'm in my coaching mode right now. Okay, let's take this off. We're gonna do some hands-on work over here. We're going to have a moment of questions and answers as well, because I believe that when you have questions for me and I give you answers, yes, how you put it into practice. I'm also a life coach. So besides being a pastor for the last 20-some years, I'm a life coach. And so my style of preaching is like a coaching style. And so you could put it to work in your everyday life, and you could also use it in your spiritual life, okay? So we all know that we're in this transition, in this process of renewal, okay? My message for right now, this afternoon, is transition leads to transformation, okay? Okay, Pastor, this has been great word since last night, this morning, but how do I put it to work? How does it work in my life? How does all that beautiful things you talked about, these beautiful butterflies, how does that play in my life? Well, let me tell you that we're all in a season of change and transition. And transition is the small steps and stages that bring about change. So it's not a big change from one day to another. This is not a cut and paste process. This is a process of taking small steps. Small steps, but the small steps leads to a major transformation. See, we are not in a race. We are not competing with no one. We are not comparing ourselves to no one. No, we are in our own transition, in our own lane. Transition, my husband compares transitions to April's weather. April's weather is not predictable. So in the morning, you don't even know what to wear because it could be chilly in the morning. And so you put on your jacket or a sweater, but by midday, it's like it's hot. And so transition is life. It's like this April's unpredictable weather. It's a phase of the in-between. You're like in an in-between stage of life. Keep in mind that it's only temporarily. Pastor Nadia was talking about looking at the outside, look at nature. And so it's only temporarily because next thing you know, just like spring turns into summer, eventually you move from this in-between season into the new that God has for your life. Transition is the unfamiliar place. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this. Transition is the unfamiliar and uncomfortable space between our past and our future. It's a hallway in the middle. I'm no longer who I used to be, but I'm not who I want to be. You're in this in-between phase of life. We must become comfortable with the in-between space, understanding the reasons behind a transition in life. And this will help us trust God's journey through our transition. God is doing something new in you, and he's saying, I'm taking you to places you haven't been to before. I love this one worship song you ladies were singing. It's like, it's so hard to recognize this change. I can't even recognize who I am. I don't speak the same. I don't walk the same. I love that song. And I believe that this is what you're going to sing with all of your heart. Like, I'm no longer who I used to be. I don't even know who I am right now, but I know that there's so much work ahead of me. Okay, this transition, this phase of an in-between is also of you moms who have teenagers, so all of us who had teenagers before, it's like they're no longer kids, you know, when they get into the 13, 14-year-olds and they start having a little attitude and they start trying to snap their, you know, their teeth. And so they're no longer little kids, but they're not old either. And so they're in this phase of in between. Sometimes they act like they're childish, but sometimes they want to act like they're teenagers. And we always want to treat them like they're kids, right? And they want to act like they're kids, but they want us to give them responsibilities as if they were older, but they're not. So there's preteen, this teenage years is an in-between stage, and it's a very uncomfortable place to be in. And I believe that Women of Praise Chapel Vegas, you're in a transition, in a phase of the in-between. God always speaks about closing doors, and people always say that the door of the Lord closes, there's another open door, but no one tells you that in between the closed door and the open door, there's a hallway in between. In that hallway in between life, God uses it to break things in you. God uses this to take, uproot things from you. God uses this to form you and develop you. Let's go to Isaiah 43:18, verse 19. And I like to read the New Living Translation. Isaiah 43:18 says, but forget all that. Forget your past. Even if your past is good, sometimes good does not allow you to see the best that God has for you. So forget the past. Forget the good, the ugly, and the bad. Forget the good. God did this in my life so many years ago. God did that. God did this. That's the past already. Stop chewing on yesterday's victories. You know, sometimes we get so happy and content because I no longer drink like I used to. I'm no longer like I used to. But forget the past. Don't let good stop you from getting God's best. And he says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? He's already begun a good thing in you. But he's asking you today, do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness where there is dry areas in your life, where there's areas in your life where you have not been given fruit. God's saying that I'm going to make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. In other words, God is saying, I'm doing something new and different right before your eyes, but you don't seem to perceive it. You don't seem to understand it. It's so easy for us human beings to focus on bad. It's so easy for us to focus on all the bad things where we can't even enjoy the beautiful things God is doing in our lives. We are so hard on ourselves. We don't know how to be kind to ourselves. We are so harsh to ourselves. The devil don't even need to do anything to you because you sabotage yourself. So God is saying, do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand what I'm doing in you? I mean, you know, there's changes that your husband's going through into you is not good enough because you want him to be the superhero. But look at the small changes God's been doing in his life. Look at the small change maybe in one of your sons or your daughter's life. Look at the changes in your behavior. Look at those things and you could build on the good things, the new things that God is doing in your life. So perceiving is about sensing something and then making sense of it. That's why you need to slow your roll. That's why it was so important for me to bring that word yesterday about having self-awareness, about having time to reflect, about understanding the divine interventions of God in your life. This weekend is a divine intervention of God for your life. That's why it's so important for you to know how to submit to authority, to learn from others, and to perceive what God is doing in your life. We tend to get frustrated when we don't see results immediately. And frustration will always be the enemy to perseverance. Frustration will kill dreams. Frustration will kill hope. Frustration will even kill love. Frustration kills and destroys everything that God wants to do in your life and what he started doing in your life. Because when we get frustrated, we start speaking differently. When you hear a frustrated woman, it's because of the things that are coming out of her mouth, right? So out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. And a frustrated woman will always destroy her household. I learned long time ago, if you talk to the fool in him, you'll get the fool out of him. But if you talk to the king in him, you'll get the king out of him. So a frustrated woman will always kill what God is trying to do. The question is, will you allow the waiting process? You know, we were talking about the waiting. Pastora Maria was talking about that waiting process. Will you allow that waiting process to develop you or to bitter you? I've already been bitter for too long. I'm going to wait anyways. So I'd rather be developed in the waiting season instead of becoming bitter and frustrated. Every time you're going through something in life, I want you to ask yourself, ask the Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? When I go through something in my life, because we, pastoras, go through a lot of things in their lives too. No one's perfect. We are human just like you. Our battles are different levels. When I go through something in my life, I asked God, Lord, what do you want to show me through this? I'm not blaming other people. I'm not saying I'm a victim. I'm not saying how much they hurt me. No, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this situation? What areas must I grow? I want to learn, Lord. I want to learn my part because I want to get out of this. So I need to learn, what are you trying to show me in this stage of my life so I could get out of this cycle? So the question is, will you allow the Lord to develop you or will you remain bitter? The temptation, as always, is to retreat to what you know. You retreat to what you know. Because you've been that for so long, but God is telling you, no, I need to change that cycle in your life. So to regress and to just go to the most comfortable areas of your life. This is just more comfortable to me. This is toxic, but this is what I know. So I'm going to go back to what I know. And that's why there's a lot of women in domestic violence that return to that cycle because at least I know this. There's a difference between entering the new and becoming established there. How? For example, there's a difference between starting a new job but feeling confident in your role. You see the difference? There's a difference between getting married and growing together as a couple. There's a difference between having a child and feeling competent as a parent. Transition is the process of change that leads to transformation. You just need to trust God. You need to trust God that He is guiding you. You need to trust God that the word that He's giving you today, it's for a reason. You need to just hold on to His promises long enough to see change in your life. And not only changing your life, but changing those who you've been praying for, those you that you love. Let's go to transition is the process of change that leads to transformation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to have a time of questions and answers. I want you to ask me whatever you want, whatever topic you want. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, "And now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture." So our knowledge right now is partial. See, we can't see the complete picture of what God is doing. We could sense He's doing something. We could perceive He's doing something, but we don't have the final product. If we would have the final product, then we would not need God in our journey. He gives us bits and pieces of what it's going to look like. He gives us bits and pieces of what it sounds like or what it feels like. And He gives us little pieces as puzzles. So we could start putting these pieces of the puzzles together. Remember when we were little and we had this in school and they would give you the connected dots and you start connecting one dot to another. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's a kite. Well, that's how our life is in the Lord. He gives us bits and pieces. And when He sees that you're faithful with the little, He'll give you greater. But if you're not faithful with the little pieces He's giving you, then you're not ready for the greater pieces He's about to show you. Because the greater sometimes could ruin you. And see, God does not need time. God is waiting on us. God knows what He's doing. But we want God to do it at our time and our way, our will. But if He could trust you and He sees that she's getting it. That little piece of the puzzle I gave her, she's getting it. She just connected it to this other piece. And so the word says that our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only parts of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Can you relate to what I'm saying today? Can you relate to what I'm saying? I just need you to trust the process. If I need you to trust the process, God is telling you, look, I need them to trust the process. He wants us to learn how to trust in Him. And many of us have trust issues, right? Because of our childhood. We have trust issues. It's hard for me to trust someone. When someone's being nice to me, it's like, she must want something. What does he want? Like, honestly, somos gente tan desconfiada. Like, it's so hard for us. We're so distrustful. And sometimes we want to treat God as we treat our biological parents. Maybe you never even had parents. And so it's hard for us to trust, because my whole life, Pastor, I've been fighting. My whole life, Pastor, I've been having to defend myself. My whole life, Pastor, I got me. No one else has me my whole life. So when I come and I say, trust God, what does that look like? What does it look like to trust a God that I can't see? But that's what faith is about. Faith is about believing in the things you can't see and the things you could only, and faith is trusting on things you can't see until they become real. And I know you've seen real in your life. I know that you have faith history. How many of you have faith history in this place? Look, I've seen God. I've seen how I heard God. I've seen God. God has saved me from so many things, Pastor. I cannot tell you that God is not real. He don't exist, because you have faith history. And so you have faith history is because, look, I need you to trust me in this next stage of your life. This faith history that God has given you is so that you can continue trusting and believing. So transitions are hard because they stir up a lot of feelings that are meant to change us, getting us ready for the next part of our journey. You don't have a roadmap, but you do have a guide. And that guide is the Holy Spirit. He will show you, but you have to trust God. You have to trust that all the word that you've been listening this weekend, that if you put it to work in your life, you need to trust God that it will come to place. That the dreams you have will come to place, that the desires you have will come to place, that thing you've been praying for so long, continue praying, because you have to believe that it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Remember that God's timing is perfect, and even if the transition feels long and tough, trust that you're being guided exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there. I believe that you're exactly where you need to be. You're in Praise Chapel, Vegas, because that's how God has ordered it. Because your next stage, your next phase, He will give you that next piece of your puzzle of your life. But you need to be able to sit under someone's teaching long enough to see the fruit of the word, to put these words into action in your life. Let's read Ecclesiastes 3:11. Do you want to read it, Pastor Maria? Can I read it? Yeah. 3:11-15. I want them to hear their pastor's voice.
Send me your glasses, Nadia.
Oh, you need it?
Okay, no, let me focus, right? Okay. It is beautiful how God has done everything at the right time. He has put a sense of eternity in people's minds. Yet mortals still can't grasp what God is doing from the beginning to the end of time. I realize that there's nothing better for them to do than to be cheerful and enjoy what is good in their lives. It is a gift from God to be able to eat and drink and experience the good that comes from every kind of hard work. I realize that whatever God does will last forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. God does this so that people will fear Him. Whatever has happened in the past is present now. Whatever is going to happen in the future has already happened. In the past, God will call the past to account. Amen.
Thank you. What I love about this verse is that he's saying that he wants us to enjoy life. Life has been so hard and so tough that you don't know how to enjoy life anymore. When was the last time you just had a great time without being medicated? I gotta be real. When was the last time you really enjoy time with your family. Okay, forget family, because sometimes family, yeah. When was the last time you had a good time with yourself? Yeah, for reals. When was the last time you had a good time with yourself? When was the last time you did something for yourself? You know, this last year, it was our right before New Year's. I did something I have never done before, and it's not because I planned it. It just turned out that way, and I loved it. So what my husband and I, we've been doing is before every month ends, we retreat. We go on a 2-3 day retreat, and where we do fasting and praying. And we just, we wait on God's instruction for what he wants us to do for the next month. What preaching do you want us to bring to the church? Where do you want to go with the church? And so we've been doing this ever since November, and God's been doing great things in our lives and in our homes and my family and in our ministry. And so it's right before year ends. My husband loves to play golf. We play golf together. And I was like, you know what? Go ahead and you do your thing. And I spent a whole day by myself. I had never in my life gone and had lunch by myself. And I had lunch by myself by the beach. I went to this place, and I was like, I love to have a fresh wash and blow dry. And I was like, I just stepped into this place, and it's like, can you just wash and blow dry my hair? And then after that, I went to go do my nails. And then I love antiques, and I went to like this antique store, and I love records. I have vinyls, and I went to this record store, and I spent like 2 hours in the record store, and I bought me some records. And I just spent a whole day by myself, and I walked with myself, and I was in my own thoughts and my own emotions, and I invited God in my day. And it was the most beautiful thing I could have done for myself. Life has not been easy for me, people. You could hear me preach. You could see me. You could say whatever, however you want to call me out. But you don't know my story. Life has been tough, really, really tough. We just came out of a really rough transition, even as a ministry. Really rough, really, really, really rough. Where I had to hold the ground, where us, I seem like us women, we always got to be the strong ones, right? Hold the family down. It was so tough, ladies, and I'm going to be so open and vulnerable there. I didn't want to be a pastor anymore. I was questioning. God, are you still calling us to do this? Because I don't want to do it no more. Seems like the more we try to help people, the more cussed out we get. It's like the more we believe in people is the more we get kicked aside. The more we trust people, the more bad they do us. Like, and then my kids acting up. Even my kids, Lord. I'm tired of being good. I'm done helping people. And I remember this one day. You know, I'm always the one that ministers to my husband. When my husband's feeling down, I'm like, no, babe, you got to look at this. And, you know, the Lord promises. I'm always that person. And I remember this one, you know, he finally mustered up the strength to say, you know what, babe, I don't know if God wants us to continue to pastor. And I said, I've been thinking the same thing. And that's when he said, oh, we're in trouble. And I already had a whole plan. We could start, you know, because before we became pastors, we had our own business. And so I was like, we could do this, we could do that. Like, you know, I'm always thinking business and blah, 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 blah. I had this whole plan. And I remember that day I went home and I cried. And I just cried for 2 straight hours. I mean, I just cried. It was like, have you ever cried where these tears come out of your soul? It had been a long time since I cried that way. And I just had to let it all out. I had to let out all my frustration. I had to let out my anger. I had to let out my disappointment. I had to let go out of my failures. I had to let go. Even my dreams. And I remember that I just cried it out. And I remember I went to sleep. And the next day, I was renewed. I was refreshed. God is a good father. He will allow you to cry before him. He will allow you to kick before him. He will allow you to act up before him. You're doing it before him. You're not doing it before others. and he would allow you. He is a good father. I didn't grow up with a father, so I had to learn how to see God as my father. My father would only come around and he would just create trauma in my life. And so I had to learn how to see father as my dad. And he allowed me to be a little girl in that moment. But he renewed me. He refreshed me. And the next day, everything had changed. My perspective had changed. And I told my husband, nope, God has called us. There's so many promises we have not seen. There's promises my eyes have not seen. And I will not quit. And I will not give in to the lies of the devil. And things started changing and shifting. Why? Because things in my heart started changing and shifting. And God's like, okay, I needed you to learn that lesson. I needed you to go through that. I need you to trust me when the things happen in your life is because I'm allowing them to take place. Because I see an opportunity of growth. Where you see failure, I see growth. Where you see disappointment, I see opportunities of growth. Where you see betrayal, I see trust. I allow this to take place in your life. Because he will not give you a burden you cannot withhold or take. Everything in your life has an expiration date. Everything has an expiration date. Just as winter doesn't last forever, your trial will not last forever. Your disappointment will not last forever, but you need to stay there long enough to trust God and trust in the promises over your life. What's one thing you've been asking God that you have not seen? I want to tell you that you're in the verge of a breakthrough in that area of your life. If you continue believing, if you continue obeying, if you continue doing the good works. But what I want to tell you is what the Lord says here. Verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. I am living the best stage of my life right now. But if you would ask me this in October, no, you would have heard of upset woman. Everything is made beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. There's things inside of you that you know, like, this is not me. This is not me. This is not me. That's not my husband. That's not my son. That's not, you know, because he has placed eternity inside of you. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So I conclude that there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. When was the last time your children saw you happy? When was the last time your husband saw you happy? When was the last time your friends saw you enjoying life? Ask yourself, because God is telling you today to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor. For these are gifts from God. Go out and have a banquet. Go out and get your hair done. Go out and get that pedicure. Go out and get that manicure. Go out and buy that one shirt. Just buy one t-shirt. But guess what? I'm buying one thing for myself. And moms, please, every time you have a little bit of money, all you want to do is buy things for your children. Buy something for yourself first. Do something for yourself, please. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or nothing can be taken from it. God's purpose is that the people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. This life is not linear. This life has its ups and its downs. I'm going to go through it. I might as well just enjoy the moment. I'm going to go through it. I might as well have fun while I'm in the roller coaster. Our children, mothers, grow up so fast. And when they grow up, at least me, I wish my children were little again. because I wasn't present. I was present, but I wasn't present. We need to be present for our children. And guess what? I'm a grandma now, so I get to redeem myself. I'll do it with my grandchildren. I am present. I am present with my grandchildren. Grandchildren is a moment of redemption for us moms. But God is beautiful, ladies. I want you to be kind to yourself. I want you to start to pick up those broken pieces of your life and gather this word from this weekend and say, I could do it. I could do it, because you're not in competition with no one. You're not comparing yourself to anyone. You're in this journey with God. And in his time, everything is perfect and everything is beautiful. You know, you could see bitterness in the face of people, through the eyes of people. You could see darkness. You could see sadness. And I want you to start looking at yourself in the mirror. And I want you to, well, I was going to say tell me, but no, I'm leaving. But I want you to tell yourself what you see. I want you to look in the mirror. You could see through the soul of a person through the eyes. I want you to look at a mirror, and I want you to start writing what you see. And I want you to put it on a sticky pad. I want you to write what you see. I want you to be raw. You need to be honest, head on. I want you to write what you see. And maybe what you see you don't like. But then on the left side of your mirror, I want you to write with sticky pads what you want to see. So you're going to start writing what I want to see. I see sadness, but I'm going to see a woman full of joy. I see dry skin, but I want to see a moisturized skin. Like, be like that. I see ugly, but I want to see beautiful. And you're going to start seeing change little by little, because at its due time, everything is beautiful and everything is perfect. I feel the Lord wants to minister, but I also want to give the opportunity, if anyone has a question, any questions they want to ask, raise your hand. And I want you to know that this is a safe space. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but what happens in Praise Chapel Vegas stays in Praise Chapel Vegas. And we're not streaming online. So if you have a question to ask me, like, Pastor, like, what can I do in this situation? Or what do you recommend? Or I've been struggling with this. Like, I want you to ask me. The first step to that deliverance and to that freedom is just...